Hello again, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back to our study of doctrine. We're on lesson number 4B. This is the study in the letter D, the third study, D3, and we're studying doctrine. We've been through, I think, 8 lessons so far on doctrine. We're probably going to wind it up today, if the Lord will. So, doctrine. We've learned quite a bit about it. What's the bottom line about doctrine so far that we have learned? Well, the main purpose of the Bible is to teach doctrine. It's to teach whole truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth about what's true and what is not true. That's the main purpose of the Scriptures, to set itself up as a final authority in all matters of faith and practice, defining what a man should believe and shouldn't believe, what you should say and what you shouldn't say, how you should act and how you shouldn't act, and what's true about life and history and death and judgment and what's not true. Sound doctrine. And that's what we want, is sound doctrine. So when we began in this study, we started off talking about the prerequisites for one's doctrine, and then we moved through that, and the next part, we talked about man's isms. Remember all them isms that we come up with? And if you get these studies on paper, you'll see there's, man, way over 200 of them, and just isms. Man comes up with isms, and some of them are valid for our study and to use as a Christian, but most of them are about false doctrines and different doctrines, and that's why it's applied to this study. I think there's about probably 5 or 6 pages of these things involved in this study. And after that, we went into talking about different statements of doctrine. For instance, the foundational statement, the traditional statement, the creedal statement. And you'll hear these things, but I think it has to, I stick with what I say, I don't know. I don't know, I think it has to do with written down things that have to do with letting somebody else know what your doctrine is, because you'll see on church, on the computer and on church bulletins and on the church vestibule when you walk in, you'll see things like that, statements, things that are written down that describe their doctrine and what they believe there at that assembly. Then we talked about the essentials of doctrine, the necessities that have to be with your doctrine, the Bible's inspiration, the Lord Jesus Christ's deity and his incarnation, his resurrection, if you remember, and his imminent return. That is what the Bible mostly talks about itself, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks more in the Old Testament and New Testament about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ than it does anything else, any other topic, salvation, baptism, you name it. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential in doctrine. What else did we talk about? Well, salvation by faith is essential. And then we went into attitudes toward doctrine. Your doctrine should be obeyed and received, and you ought to be devoted to it. What good is it if you're not going to be devoted to it? Make a decision. Make it your decision. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to believe because I believe God, and I believe this book, and I believe everything that comes out of God's mouth is true and right and pure and accurate. And I'm going to believe that, and I'm committed and devoted to that, to my doctrine. Okay, and to the Lord's doctrine, that is. Your doctrine should be held fast. Don't let anybody take it from you. Don't let anybody take that book from you. My doctrine should be adorned. And then the last study or two, we talked about false doctrine. False doctrine. And my, oh my, doesn't the Scriptures talk about that? What constitutes false doctrine, we talked about for an hour or so, and then teachers of false doctrine. They're all over the place, And what did we learn? Some of the things about teachers of false doctrine. Well, they deceive many. They attract many. And most of them are TV stars, and all the news places talk good about them. You got to think any of these news people and your local news people and even the national news people, if they talk good about a pastor or a preacher, there's something going on there, because a man from God speaking the words of God is not going to be buddy-buddy and chummy-chummy with the world. They speak perverse things. They're savage in their approach and what they do to the church and the assembly. They're deceitful and they're ungodly and proud, and they are corrupt. And they love error. They love error. Talking about teachers, false teachers that teach false doctrine. Yes. Yes. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Christian's attitude toward false doctrine. We talked about that. Avoid it and test it. Test that doctrine and test what they say against the Word of God. And know whether a man's telling you the truth or not. Test it. You should have already looked in your Bible to see if everything that we're talking about on this recording and in these lessons is true according to that book. According to that book. And I told you to begin with when we started this study, and I remind you of it every now and then, that I'm apt to say something wrong. And if I do, I want you to get a hold of me and correct me and show me in the scriptures where what the truth is, because I'm interested in the truth. I'm not interested in anything false. I want to know the truth. I ask the Lord before every one of these lessons to make sure it's His words and that it's His truth that's being spoken on these recordings, and not to let anything about me get into it. And if it's my opinion, I'll say this is my opinion, because Paul used that. Paul said this is what I say. This is not a commandment of the Lord, and he would say that when he would go to say anything, he would put that down. He would say whether it was coming from the Lord and it was commanded from the Lord, and if it wasn't, then he would say this is not commanded by the Lord, but it's good advice. You should do well if you think about this, and things of that nature. But today we're going to get into something called sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. That's what we talked about. That's what I discussed when we very first started this. Everything is about sound doctrine. And everything we've learned thus far has to do with it. But this is specifically for us. Specifically for us. It's not about false teachers. It's not about, now, false teachers ought to have sound doctrine, but that's not what they're in it for. That's not what it's about. What do you mean by sound? The Bible does use the word sound. It does use it. The Lord had it written down in His eternal word, sound doctrine. What do you mean by that? Well, what it means is it's founded in truth. It's firm. It's strong. It's valid. It's solid. It's something that cannot be overthrown or refuted. It's sound. It's stationary. It's there. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you can't do anything against the truth. You can only do something for the truth. You can't change the truth. You can't change the truth. No matter how many ideas and isms and all this gobbledygook this world comes up with, and everything having to do with Christendom and having to do with Christ and having to do with heaven and hell and everything else, you know, having to do something from the Bible or maybe a fable they come up with and all this other stuff and just all the things and stuff like that. That stuff changes. You wait long enough, and that doctrine they got, it'll change, or somebody will change it. Sound doctrine cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. So that makes you wonder about these other 230 and 240 so far versions of the Bible, they call it. It's founded in truth. It's firm. It's strong. It's valid. Sound doctrine. It's something that cannot be overthrown or refuted as sound reasoning, sound argument, sound objection, sound principles, or sound doctrine. It's right. It's correct. It's well-founded. And it's free from error. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. That's why the Lord and the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John and the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ himself talk to us about doctrine in the Scriptures. Take heed. Take heed. Remember? More than casual notice. This is something that's very important to you. And when you have sound doctrine, you know who your final authority is. You cannot have sound doctrine without having a final authority. And by the way, that final authority is not you. Your final authority is that book and the one that has the power behind it, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Sound doctrine. All right, well, let's talk some about this sound doctrine. How sound doctrine manifested? Now, how does it reveal itself or reveal its presence? How does it appear? How can you recognize it? Well, you can recognize sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is manifested by one's heart, by the heart. Most of the time when somebody's grounded and founded and has sound doctrine, or at least is in that direction, headed in that direction, learning the Scriptures and growing, you can tell what their doctrine is and by their heart. Their heart will manifest their doctrine. There's a lot of people that talk with the tongue, and the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. A lot of people talk about what this is and what that is and doctrine and blah 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 blah, but in their heart, it's not there. It's not there. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." The first and foremost principle or item that is manifested by sound doctrine in somebody's life is the heart changes. If somebody's out there running amok, and like we was talking about these pastors that claim to be having sound doctrine and teaching the flock and all these false teachers and everything else, and then next week they get caught in one of the church members' wives' bedroom. Yeah, ain't no heart in that doctrine. Ain't no heart in that doctrine. Doctrine will change, sound doctrine will change your heart. It'll change the way you think about things. It'll change the way you behave about things. It'll change what you find important and what you find not important. It'll change that heart. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The heart. How sound doctrine is manifested or revealed or shows its presence or appears is by the heart. Probably one of the most miserable things a Christian can do is to pretend, or is to be in the family of God and pretend they're walking with God, and their heart is not right with the Lord. Therefore, their doctrine is not right with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats," in other words, works and things like that and stuff like that, "which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." In other words, doctrine, true sound doctrine, gives you grace, for it is good. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. In other words, salvation is free. Jesus Christ paid the penalty, the entire penalty, the entire price. You don't have to do nothing. That's grace, brothers and sisters. You don't have to do nothing except behave yourself and love the Lord with all your heart and study His Word and wait for His coming and help each other out. But as far as working and trying to get to heaven and have doctrine by meats, in other words, my father beat your father, Dom doing the cross over your forehead and your chest and all that kind of stuff, and taking three steps left and riding a donkey around the church four times backwards and stuff, just all this kind of mess. That's referred to as meats, in other words, works, things that you can impress God with. God's not impressed by anything that we try, that tries to show that, look here, Lord, I partially deserve heaven. The Lord sits back and say, huh? I can't believe you even said that. Yeah, that's why doctrine is manifested in the heart, sound doctrine. If somebody is indeed serving the Lord and in love with the Lord and wanting to do the very best they can for the Lord and in His sight, sound doctrine will be revealed from his heart, because his heart will be involved in it. Sound doctrine by one's heart. Well, what else? Well, sound doctrine can be manifested and revealed, and its presence can be shown by one's speech, by the way you talk. I hear a lot of Christians that just love, can't get away from that cussy mouth. The Bible says that which proceeds from the heart, proceeds from the mouth, comes from the heart. Now, I got to confess to you, me and the Lord, we talk about that. I talk about it all the time. Lord, I make plans to keep my mouth shut, and I mess it up all the time. And I have to tell the Lord I'm sorry. And I'm not talking about cussing and stuff like that. I'm talking about just, the Bible says, study to be quiet. Isn't that interesting? Study it. It's something you got to practice, something you got to do over and over and over so you memorize it. Study it. Study to be quiet and to work with your own hand, to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. You got to study to be quiet. But one thing that manifests sound doctrine is your speech, the way that you talk, the things that you talk about, the conversations that you hold, the conversations that you get away from and get out of and escape. Like Proverbs tells us, get away from it, avoid it, turn away. The things you listen to, one speech. What's Titus say in chapter 2? He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In other words, when somebody hears you talk, they know you believe what you say. Yeah. Sound doctrine. What else? Titus chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Isn't that interesting? Sound doctrine. sound doctrine not only has to do with your heart, it manifests itself through a Christian's heart, but it manifests itself through one's speech. Through one's speech. What else? Well, by one's faith. By one's faith. You ought to be, if you have sound doctrine, then you have sound doctrine about the things that you believe in your faith. And your faith. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Good works. You do good works not to get saved. You do good works because you're saved. You serve the Lord and behave yourself and bind that flesh and battle that flesh and battle this world because you, not because you have to, but because you want to now. Sound doctrine. The more you learn in the Word of God, the more you ought to want to. By one's faith. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in charity, and in patience. That's a lot of stuff. And I'm glad he put the aged part in it, because you got to grow into that stuff, don't you? That's why the Lord is very patient with us, and he's a good father, and he's a good teacher. He said he's going to conform us into the image of Christ until Christ comes back, and that the good work that he has begun in you, he will not stop working on until Christ comes. He shall perform until the day of Jesus Christ, is what the Bible says. Aren't you glad of that? What else about sound doctrine? Well, sound doctrine, how sound doctrine manifested? Well, it's manifested from one's heart. It's manifested from one's speech and one's faith. But that's not all. Sound doctrine is manifested by one clinging to God's Word. If you don't stay in the book, the devil will take the Word of God away from you and his servants. If you don't stay in the book, you become susceptible to yielding your doctrine, to yielding what you believe, to yielding your heart to things you shouldn't yield it to yielding your faith, to yielding your speech. If you've been a Christian for any time, you know that the devil searches you and tries to find out what your weaknesses are. And he tries to get you right there, and he tries to throw the wiles at you and trick you and all kinds of sorts of things like that. By clinging to God's Word, that is major important. If nothing else in your life never, ever, 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 ever changes, let it be your relationship with that book, with God's Word. No matter whether you feel like it, no matter whether you like it, no matter whether you get anything out of it when you read it. I mean, some of it is like sweet as honey, and some of it is like trying to pull teeth. But that's when you're learning. You're learning, and the God's Word doesn't return void. If you put it in there, it's going to be there. And God the Holy Ghost will show that to you. It's there whether you think it is or not, because he'll bring it up. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that's why you put it in there. Every time you read and study God's Word, God the Holy Ghost, wherever you at and whatever's needed at the time, he can pull that up out of you. And he can. You'd be surprised. You stay with that book no matter what. By clinging to God's Word, the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And the more you study God's word, the more you'll know what's right and wrong, and the more you'll know what's false and what's true. That's one reason, that's what the Bible says, that how you can tell somebody's becoming mature, because they have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. You can tell what's right and wrong. That's why this world and the devil and his ministers are trying to turn this world upside down with relativity and let's all be the same. There's no differences. We're all the same. Let's bring all the religions together. There's no differences. That's not what God says, and that's not what the Word of God says. And that's not what we believe. That's not what our doctrine tells us. That's not what we stand by. That's not what the Word of God reveals to us. Holding fast the faithful Word as he hath been taught. Don't change. God's Word is true whenever you first started learning it, and it continues to be true as you grow, and it'll be true when you leave that body. And it'll be true when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, the Word himself, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, encourage people to, like we do on these, with each other on these recordings, to exhort one another to keep on, don't you dare quit. And you're doing right, and you're doing the right thing, you believe the right things, you have the right mind about things, you're not a girl, and you're not a boy. You're not a, I don't even know what, they've got so many out there now, I don't even know what to call them. By their letter, I guess, LBGTIQRSTUV. But knowing the difference between right and wrong, I'm telling you, it's more important than anything in the world to hang on to your doctrine, to hold fast the faithful words that you've been taught, the doctrine that you've been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. Nobody's going to be able to help you to give up your sanity believing that a girl can be a boy and a boy can be a girl, and that right is wrong and wrong is right, and that evil is goodness and good is evil, and that sweet is bitter and bitter is sweet. The Lord speaks against that mess all over the Word of God. This is not brand new that's coming up. It's just coming up now because the Lord has removed his protection from America, and America's destroying itself, just like it would any time it denies the Lord and pushes the Lord out. The Lord says, you want to be on your own? Okie dokie. Good luck. But that's not you. You stay with that book, and you believe what you've been taught. What is right and what is wrong. What is up and what is down. Polarities. What is and what is not. Doctrine. My clinging to God's word. Psalm 119 and verse 80, the Bible says, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Amen. Sound. Sound. What else? We're talking about how sound doctrine is manifested. It's manifested by one's heart, by one's speech, by one's faith, by clinging to God's word, and by one's right living. Right living. Is there anything you need to change? Change it. Change it. That's just that simple. Change it. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything other than a thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. By one's right living, doctrine is manifested and people can see it in you, and it appears to the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm not talking about this, Jesus, oh sweet Jesus, oh praise Jesus, and got no idea who Jesus is. All they know is a name. If people really knew who Jesus Christ was and his character and the way he thought, they would fear God. And they'd get some things right. Psalm chapter 38, the Bible says, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." You can't be sound in your faith and sound in your doctrine and be at peace with the Lord and be walking with the Lord and that be able to pray and to talk to the Lord and say, "Lord, as far as I know, there's nothing that I haven't discussed with you that I'm hiding from you." By one's right living, sound doctrine, sound. Founded in truth, firm, strong, valid, solid. It cannot be overthrown or refuted. Sound doctrine. It's right. It's correct. It's well-founded and free from error. Sound doctrine. How it's manifested. That's not all. Why sound doctrine is needed. Talking about sound doctrine. How sound doctrine is manifested, but that's not all. Why is sound doctrine needed? Well, it's needed for exhortation and to convince. We read that just a second ago. It's needed because no matter where you're at in this world, you're being watched and you're being listened to. And whatever you say, everybody's got a story. And if you say that your story and your doctrine, the things you live by, the standards that you keep, why you live the way you live and believe the way you believe and who your final authority is being watched. And it's needed to help others out. And it's also needed to make people ashamed by the way they live before the Lord. Yes, people need to be ashamed of what they do now, today. If there was, that's one thing the world's moving away from also. That is a top-notch corrector. You wouldn't have as many people in jail if shame was still valid in society. But this society is so bound to take away shame and take away anything wrong and change all the words around. Well, he's not fat. He's gravitationally challenged. Just all the stupidest things that they can come up with, rather than saying, "You need to be ashamed of that. That just ain't right." When I was a boy, we used to get told, "You be ashamed." And we would. And that would help us. Yeah. If the Lord took, and I hope he doesn't, because at the judgment seat of Christ, we're not going to have any condemnation. The Lord's not going to condemn us. We're going to be judged for what we did in the body as his son in the family, sons and daughters. But at the White Throne Judgment, there's going to be, the books are going to be open, and I ain't sure, but all these churches, you know, now, and these assemblies got these great big TVs up in front of the congregation with their songs and their little pictures and their this and that, instead of everybody just being able to read out of a book. They got the big televisions and monitors up in front of the congregation. Well, what if the Lord at the judgment seat has one of them gigantic things like that up in front of all the congregation standing before the throne, and he calls your name, and he won't call our name, but he calls somebody's name to come up there before him, and the books are open, and they're judged according to their works. And he says, on January the 4th, 1964, you committed adultery with your neighbor's wife. And everybody goes, oh! And then it shows up on that screen. You think there's going to be any shame? You better believe there is. That's why the shame needs to happen now, so there can be repentance and turning to the Lord for forgiveness and to receive Christ as your Savior. And then have the honor and the privilege of being able to confess your sins to the Lord and have somebody that's sound and has the power behind it to forgive you every time you confess it and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yeah. The Lord's so smart, He set everything up perfectly. It's needed for exhortation and to convince. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And then also in Titus, we read again why sound doctrine is needed. Well, it's needed for exhortation and to convince gainsayers. I'm sorry, I got mixed up there just a little bit. Forgive me. But it's needed for sound faith. Why sound doctrine's needed? You need sound doctrine in your life. Sound doctrine. Something that's concrete. Something you can trust. Something that you can depend on. You can put your faith and your trust and your soul at stake with this final authority and his doctrine. Holding fast the faithful word. Did you get that? Faithful word. It won't let you down. Well, what else? It's needed for sound faith. Titus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. We read that just a minute ago also. This witness is true. Let me see. Am I right? Yeah. Titus 1, 13 and 14. It says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. What are we talking about? Why sound doctrine's needed? It's needed to remain from the faith, in the faith, and to not give heed to things that are wrong. Commandments of men and Jewish fables, and all kind of fables going on today. You can get a story and follow any kind of fantasy, comic book type doctrine or something like that. There was one guy I was talking to, I was witnessing to on this thing on a computer, just answering some people's questions about what God says about things and stuff like this. And this one guy said that his God was, what was it, Thor. And he was serious about that. He said that Thor was real. I said, yeah, I just got through, and it wasn't that I was reading it, it was that I'd seen it somewhere, and I said, yeah, I just seen your God on the front of a comic book. And boy, that blew his stack, man. But I did. It said Thor on the front of the comic book, and it was, of course, a comic book, and it was for kids, but it was about Thor, the god Thor, and it was on the front of that comic book. And I said, your God's on the front of a comic book. And boy, that just blew his stack. But you can get all kinds of fables and commandments of men and gods and different kinds of stuff out there if you're not sound in your faith. If you're not sound, why? Sound doctrine is needed. It's needed for exhortation and to convince the gainsayers. It's needed to be sound in the faith. What else? Well, it's needed because sound doctrine is going to be denied by some. And we're talking about people that are in the body of Christ. They're going to turn away from the truth, the Bible says. Don't let that be you. What in the world would be one of the worst things to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat and the Lord ask you, how come you turned away? You knew what was right. Why did you leave? And every Christian, I mean, there is such thing as being deceived, but tempted to turn away from the faith. But everybody that turns away from the faith and turns away from the truth that they have learned in their heart, somewhere, sometime, they made the decision to turn. They made it. You made it. I made it. To turn from the truth. I left the Lord one time. And I knew when I did it, the very second I did it. But by His grace, He brought me back. He allowed me to come back. We're in His family. You can't escape the Lord. You're His son. You're His daughter. You're in the family of God. You can't get out of it. Once you're born again, you are God's child. Isn't that wonderful? Why is sound doctrine needed? Well, it's needed because to be sound in the faith, or it's needed because sound doctrine is going to be denied by some. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us that. In verse 2 through 4, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. You see what turns you away from the truth? That flesh and them lusts. And that's all the world is about on TV, billboards, newscasts, anything is about trying to get you to lust. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In order to have a message in the church that is a fable, you have to have a storyteller, which is a false teacher. But the church accepts goes to church every Sunday and listens to this false teacher, storyteller, and he tells the story, and the itching ears turn away from the truth and welcome the fable. Yeah. And that's exactly what's going on in a lot of congregations now. It's a theatrical play. You go there to be entertained, not go there to meet with the Lord. You don't go there for the reasons of being around God's word and around God's people and being exhorted and rebuked and reproved by doctrine and being reminded what is right and wrong so you can live your life easier while we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ. And have peace with the Lord. It's needed for faith. It's needed for exhortation and to convince. It's needed because sound doctrine is going to be denied by some. And I hope that's not you, brothers and sisters. And if it is, all you have to do is confess it to the Lord and change and get back to the doctrine that you've learned and forget about it and get back where you was and get right with the Lord. That's it. That's all you have to do is just be sincere with the Lord and confess that thing. And Lord, I was wrong. I run off with this fable thing, and I apologize for it, Lord, and I'm sorry, and I confess it to you, and would you please help me to get back to sound doctrine? And he will. It's needed, because sound doctrine will be denied by some. It's only going to get worse and worse. The enemy's got the church walking away from the Lord, even denying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. But don't let that be you. When the Lord comes, let's not be the ones that are going to be ashamed at his coming. Let's serve him because we love him, and remember that you love him. Yeah. And one other thing. Why is sound doctrine needed? Well, it's needed to do God's will and to be pleasing in his sight. Sound doctrine. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 and 21, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen. It's needed. Sound doctrine is needed to do God's will. It's needed to do God's will. Now, God does use devils, and we know that by the Old Testament, that spirit that comes, the evil spirit that came before the Lord, and when the Lord said, who will go down and convince Ahab? And everybody said what they would do, and then an evil spirit said that he'd go down and be a lying spirit and all the preachers down there. And the Lord said, go ahead. And he did. And he did. And there was only one preacher out of all of them that told the truth. And Ahab hated him. It's needed to do God's will and to be pleasing in his sight. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 22 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart." In other words, if you can get convicted, and you still get convicted over things, then God still controls your heart. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." In other words, you're serving him, and you don't have anything to be rebuked about, and God is greater than your heart, and your heart's serving the Lord, and you have confidence. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Sound doctrine is needed to do God's will and to be pleasing in his sight. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I want to read you a couple scriptures in closing about this sound doctrine. And it's several verses, but just let me read them to you. And we're going to close. I want to give you these verses. Let me go ahead and give them to you now, and then I'll read as we close. And we're going to close out this study of doctrine. It concludes with these verses that I'm going to read to you. And it's been a good study, hasn't it? Doctrine. sound doctrine, false teachers, just all sorts of things. A lot of isms going on, just all sorts of things. But doctrine is very important, brothers and sisters. You need to decide what your doctrine is and who it is, your final authority, that doctrine you're serving and you believe and you stand on. And you being on, studying these recordings and studying along with us, I suppose that your doctrine is the Word of God and the will of God and doing the things that are pleasing to God. And your Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ, and your doctrine is His Word. Amen. Here's the Scriptures. You ready? Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Titus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Psalms chapter 119, verse 80. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Psalm chapter 38, verse 3. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. And again, Titus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. And I'm going to give you these two right here. I haven't read them yet, but I'm fixing to. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 16, and Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. All right. And that's our scriptures for the rest of the lesson. And let me read these to you. I just, these scriptures I added to the study since we've been studying. And the reason for that is because they came up in my study. I study during the day, and they came up while we were doing this record, while we were studying together with this recording, and these scriptures came about, and they reminded me of our study of doctrine, and how come it's important to have sound doctrine, and what the Bible says in other places, like in the Old Testament, and some examples and descriptions of doctrine, and how important it is to the Lord. And these two verses just remind, or portions of Scripture just reminded me of that. So let me read them to you. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 16 says, "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God?" Now this is Micah, and the Lord is rebuking Israel, and he's asking Israel, "What have I done against you?" And this is Micah, in Micah. "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly before with thy God." Now, we know that we don't do this in order to get saved. This is Old Testament. But we don't do this in the church. We don't do this in the body of Christ to get saved. We do justly, and love mercy, and walk humbly before God, because we are saved. Now, continuing on. "The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable." He's talking about business now, and how they done business and cheated people. Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. The sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. For the statutes, now listen to this part. This is why the Lord's telling these people, your behavior's disgusting, you're cheating each other, you're stealing from people and doing bad business and all this stuff. And then you're going to bring these oxen and all this this oil and pretend that you're going to offer it to me. And it's nothing but treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked. And then he tells them why. He says, for the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab. This was a wicked king with wicked, wicked ways that he led Israel in being wicked. And Omri was the statutes, the doctrines of Omri. They followed this god, which was a sun god, if I read it correctly, a sun god or something like that. For the statutes of Omri are kept. In other words, you're not going by my doctrines. You're going by the doctrines of statutes of Omri and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. You see what God is saying? Through Micah, and Micah prophesied this and spoke it to them and said, listen, y'all are so wicked and you're doing all these things and everything else, and it's because your doctrine's messed up. You're serving this Omri and following the house of Ahab and all them wicked counsels and all that stuff, and it's fixing to get you punished. And you're going to wonder how come your food don't last, and how come your and the Lord said that therefore will I make thee I'll make thee sick in smiting thee. He says, man, you're going to want to throw up after I get done whipping you. So that's one thing. Now let me read you Proverbs chapter 4. Listen to this. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. He's encouraging us to get into God's doctrine and understand it and to keep it. Listen to what he says. This is Solomon now. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Doctrine. Sound doctrine. You see? Isn't that good stuff? That is good stuff. Well, this concludes our study on doctrine, and thank you for participating and honoring our Lord by honoring His Word and studying it. God bless you for that. The Lord knows your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name. That's what the Bible says. He knows. The Lord bless you and yours. It's been a good study of doctrine. And if you want the papers on it and stuff like that, just email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and I'll send them to you, and you'll have them. And to go along with the recordings, or however you like to do it. Well, Lord willing, let's see, A, B, C, D, E. Lord willing, if everything goes well and we don't stick another one in between this and D, we'll be in E. And E is for the enemy. Enemy. The Lord bless you and thank you again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.